Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church. I'm Pastor Bibb. Special warm welcome to any guests or visitors who might be joining us for this last of our midweek Lenten services. This is indeed the fifth week of Lent, which means we've officially entered Passion Tide. And so as part of our ongoing meditation on Psalm 41, our Be Gracious to Me series, you'll notice that in the psalmody this evening, when we speak the psalm responsibly, we will omit the Gloria, as we have drawn that much closer than to Holy Week, and so the solemnity and reverence of the season increases just a little more. It's austere for a purpose. As Jesus draws near to that time when he is stripped and nailed to the cross, so then we see a stripping of the liturgy, if you will, some things which are held back so that our focus is ever and only on what it is that Christ has done for us in his passion. Our service is Vespers, as it has been all through the season, 229. The theme this evening is vindication, and this is found on the inside of the bulletin. In Psalm 41, verses 7 to 8, David lamented, "All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say, a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies." These words pointed forward to our Lord Jesus Christ, who rose again in defiance of his enemies. Do you have enemies who whisper and scheme against you? Have you been brought low, perhaps so low that you despair of ever rising again? Jesus was vindicated in his resurrection, and you shall be too. You can have certainty in your resurrection and vindication because Jesus Christ is risen. Again, our service is Vespers. It begins on page 229. A reading from Jeremiah, the 9th chapter. Who is the man so wise that he can understand this? To whom has the mouth of the Lord spoken that he may declare it? Why is the land ruined and laid waste like a wilderness so that no one passes through? And the Lord says, because they have forsaken my law that I set before them and have not obeyed my voice or walked in accord with it, but have stubbornly followed their own hearts and have gone after the Baals as their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed this people with bitter food and give them poisonous water to drink. I will scatter them among the nations whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
David prayed in Psalm 41, "All who hate me whisper together about me." They imagine the worst for me. They say, a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies. Now, in our everyday speech, the word enemy, it might seem to overstate the situation. To be sure, the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, these are certainly mortal enemies. They oppose us with deadly intent. But those are spiritual enemies, not physical. Not physical human enemies who look us in the eye. Not many of us have those sorts of enemies these days. However, King David and our Lord Jesus most certainly did. Even if there might be loveless people in your life who drum their fingers, so to speak, waiting for you to die so that they can have your money, those people will hopefully not scheme to commit your murder. Treacherous, murderous men schemed against David. They imagine the worst for me. They say a deadly thing is poured out on him. Christ Jesus, our Lord, likewise endured the deadly designs of murderers. The chief priests and the elders of the people plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him, as we just heard moments ago. Pardon me. Your and my situations are measurably different. We do not yet have people who directly seek our deaths, although that may change in the generations to come. Lord, have mercy. But most of our enemies are likely less violent nowadays. People who are just plain mean, people who speak evil about us, people who seem oddly gratified by our pain, people who selfishly take but refuse to give, people who willingly commit injustice and leave us feeling miserable, people who sometimes make us wish that we actually were dead. Perhaps the worst thing about such people is that they seem to get away with it, right? At least in the short term. But rest assured, those who treat you badly, they will not get away with it when the final judgment comes. David's enemies, they thought they would get away with their injustices against him. They poured out a deadly thing for him, then foolishly said concerning him, he will not rise again from where he lies. They were wrong. No one who dies ever stays dead. All people shall rise, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt, we read in Daniel chapter 12. Jesus spoke the truth that gives shape to all eternity when he declared, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, it is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. That from John chapter 5, verse 25, and then verses 28 and 29. Those words, they speak of the certainty of the resurrection. David lived in that certainty. Jesus of Nazareth embodies that certainty. You have been baptized into that same certainty. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And it's all the more poignant as we include that in every funeral service, appropriately so. The certainty of the resurrection allowed David to live in confidence and hope even while his enemies said, he will not rise again from where he lies. David knew very well that he would indeed rise. That knowledge gave David comfort, and it gave him power. You see, first, David's faith in the resurrection indicated that whatever he might have been required to suffer, his suffering would not last forever. David's psalms are full of the hope of the resurrection, even while he teetered on the brink of death multiple times in his life. The resurrection is why David could confidently pray, and why you also can pray with that same confidence. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. That from Psalm 3. And I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. That from Psalm 22, the psalm which Jesus prayed from the cross. And yet again, I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. From Psalm 27. Relief from suffering is only the first comfort of the resurrection. The second comfort is vindication. Vindication is when all wrongs get made right. Vindication happens when those who suffer losses get their losses returned to them. Indeed, on this Judica or Utica week, coming from Sunday, we have this theme playing out all week long of vindication. Vindicate me, O God. Have you suffered unanswered injustice so long that you wait for vindication? You're not alone. The souls of countless Christian martyrs, they wait with you. They loudly cry out from the pages of the Word of God, O Sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood? That from Revelation 6. All who hate me whisper together about me, they imagine the worst for me, David wrote. Well, David knew that although his enemies might win a battle here or there, they could not win the war. David knew he would be vindicated, and you shall be too. That is why David could also pray, and why you can also pray with him. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment, from Psalm 6. And his mischief returns upon his own head, from Psalm 7, and again in Psalm 41. By this I know that you, Lord, delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me, but you have set me in your presence forever. So how do we know that David's enemies did not finally get away with it? More to the point, how do we know that your enemies will not get away with what they've done to you? We know these things because the enemies of Jesus did not get away with their plans against him. They couldn't, and they didn't. Psalm 41 speaks in the voice of the Christ, as surely as it speaks in the voice of King David. All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say, a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies. The enemies of Jesus were so desperate that he not rise from where he lies that they posted a guard and imposed a seal upon the tomb. Which, by the way, that's just not like, hey, they put some sticky tack on it. This would have been a major seal. Today we think of it as a federal act, as the seal of Caesar would have been on it right there. Pontius Pilate being responsible for it, and anybody that broke it would have been liable for death. The chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. We read that from Matthew chapter 27. Now, of course, spoiler alert, it didn't work. Jesus rose from the dead. God the Father crowned him with glory and honor. Jesus was vindicated in his resurrection, and dear saints, you shall be too. Those who have committed injustices against you shall not remain unanswered forever. Those who have harmed you have only truly harmed themselves. You shall gain back all that has been taken away from you by selfish hands. You shall rise again from where you are finally laid down, and King David shall rise with you in the power of the Christ who rose before both of you. And you shall say on that great day, with David and with Jesus, You have upheld me because of my integrity and have set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. O God, who gives strength to the weak and light to those who are in darkness, grant us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, that through him we may know you more completely. Assure us that all things are made to work for our good through our Savior, Jesus Christ, so that we may with hopeful hearts await the glory of his kingdom of eternal grace. With boldness and confidence we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. Well, good evening once again, and we're coming very quickly here into Holy Week. I've got the schedule you can find there for all the services in your bulletin this evening. So if you want to hold on to that, this otherwise will be the only time we use these bulletins. So if you want to have a handy schedule there, we have it printed in the bulletin. And go in God's peace, knowing that Jesus is your vindication. And that as Christ is the head of the church and we are members of his body, as he has risen, we too shall follow. And we look forward to that great and glorious day where we do see our Savior face to face. And we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'll greet you at the door.